The Lord is so good. He's so good. He's been doing so many things. Sometimes I have a hard time keeping up. Worship has always been a big key for me. I can't sing, but I can sure tell him how much I love him. So, Father, I just thank you tonight that your word cannot, will not return void, that each and every person will receive something that they need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Trying to function here, that just totally messed me up. I think we could have just worshiped all night and called it good, don't you? I could start out with a really nice praise report. You want an amazing news flash? Jesus can cure the common cold. And it may sound funny, but when you talk to somebody that can't talk, they have a splitting headache so bad they can't raise it up off the pillow, and you're on the phone to them telling them Jesus already did it, you just got to receive it. I think if they could reach through the phone, they'd probably slap you. But it's the truth, is it not? So I said, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. When you get up in the morning, you'll be fine. So I called them the next day. They're in Phoenix, or around that area. Called them the next day. They said, my God, I can't believe how good I feel. So newsflash, everybody, Jesus cures a common cold. Also prayed for a little baby that was premature. They thought he had a lung infection, and they were real concerned for him, but his recovery was so fast, the doctors were amazed, and he got to go home a little early. So thank you, Jesus. So see, things like this are happening all the time. To me, it's really almost like an everyday occurrence. If I pray for somebody, I really expect results. I'm really kind of shocked when we don't get them. Sometimes we're under the influence, and it's not always of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the first thing I've paid attention, because I pray for a lot of people in a course of a month, usually phone or out on trips. And the first thing they'll tell me is, why didn't God do it? And my first response is always automatic, but he already did. I said, what do we need to pray for you to receive what he's already done for you? What obstacle is in your way? Unbelief is the biggest one, but you know, sometimes the enemy will bombard their mind so bad they really are in a fog, for lack of a better description. I don't want to go off to the deep in here. I have a tendency to be hard on people. It's only because I used to be so far gone on the other side. I know how the devil operates in that area. But I see a whole new wave coming. I've talked to people about seeing a gathering in the spirit of the other side, not God's side. And now they're crawling out of the woodwork. They're crawling out. They're making statements, coming out in the open. And really, if you're a Christian, you're a minority if you're a real Christian. And by that I say, you know, if you're not the one standing up there going, for $1,000, I'll bless you. For $5,000, no telling what I'd do for you. But this gathering, you know, most Christians are kind of scoffing at it, and, you know, witchcraft isn't bad, you know, not too bad. The Lord's greater than that, and he is. But most Christians don't believe it, because most of the ones I run into are terrified of the witchcraft and everything that goes on. But you know what scares me with it? If I was going to get scared, I don't get scared too easy. I have to get up every morning and look in the mirror before I have my first cup of coffee. What have I got to fear? Amen. A lot of you adhere to that. You're not human till after the first cup, right? What bothers me with witchcraft is that it's pulling out our young people. A lot of young people are looking to it because they see more of the supernatural there than they do in the church. It's sad. That's why I'm always grateful for our young people that are sold out to God. I'm always grateful that they chose when so much is offered to them on the other side. You know, on the other side, you can indulge and do everything you want because they don't even believe in sin. You try to talk to them about Jesus, they'll just tell you you're one of the money-hungry outfits that they see on television and they won't want nothing to do with you. Satan's good at what he does. He can come as Mr. Evil with the horns, or he can come in the disguise of a good thing where, you know, I have some testimony here that's been sent to me about what some of the witches and cults are doing. They said now the U.S. is ranking one of the highest in neo-pagan religions. Isn't that sad? One of the highest. England has just sanctioned the Druids, which is an ancient belief. Kind of like the way when Bush sanctioned the Wiccans here. See, and they do good things. They do food banks. They do this. They do that while they're doling out their magic, their powder, their incantations, their influences. And I know they say the money is the greatest influence, but see, they're controlling the money too. Look at the lottery. 170 million? How many Christians play it? Don't raise your hands. We really don't want to know. Or I'll cast that gambling devil out of you. I've been tempted. I used to play the lottery before God gave me the revelation of how bad it was. See, even if you won, you'd have all these good intentions, and the next thing you know, you'd be buying a jet and jet-setting it everywhere. I even did a follow-up on people that have won, and most of them hit poverty again after 4 or 5 years. So what did they do with their millions? They promoted their kingdom. I still say I'd rather play, you know, because someday money's not going to be of any value. Someday we are going to reach that place. I think some of the old timers had it down pretty good when they just pray their pots would never go empty. That's faith, isn't it? But the influence that we have in the atmosphere from all this stuff going on really does affect the churches. Most of the churches are under the influence of it in by ways of we enter into a lot of strife and division and competition, all these things. My favorite, because I used to be a witch, I never had a big cauldron pot, but I could stir the pot. I call a lot of those people pot stirrers because they're never at peace with anyone, you know? Never. Most of them, if you sat and recorded them, they'd have very little good to say about anybody because they would always find this much wrong with them. How they do things, what they do. If that fails, it would be how you dressed, how you talked. Anything that would pull you away from any form of unity in your body. If they don't believe there's division in the body of Christ, look at all the churches we have. If you don't believe there's any influence of Satan, look at all the perversion that's in the churches. How many preachers have been busted for porn? How many child porn? It's not even sexy adults. Can I say sexy? I just did. What anybody would get off a kid, I'll never know. But tell me that's not a devil influenced. And all the Christians say, well, you know, well, I'm going to walk just like Jesus. Boy, I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do everything. And then when the devils come, most of the time I get a phone call. It's like, what happened to all you devil casting people? What happened to them? Where'd they go? I don't know. See, I went to Peru with Christine years ago. We cast out a lot of devils, didn't we? Saw a lot of miracles. But I see the same thing. Everybody says you're always going to see that in a third world country, but I see it in the U.S. We need to start understanding what the devil is doing these days. Don't you agree? Oh, wait a minute. I don't need to do all that stuff. Let Gary do it. But see, that's what we do. We always leave it up to somebody else. Why do it yourself when Pastor Dave can? How many devils are you going to cast out on your own? You got to have a special anointing. Oh, yes, I can feel it now. No, you don't. All you have to do is believe God. All you have to do is know who you are in Him. Because if we made ourselves in the image of Jesus, if we became that, like Gary said in his face-to-face confessions, what are we doing? We're transforming, aren't we? Isn't that why the devil hates you so bad? Because you look like Jesus? And all this time we wasted putting on makeup just to find out we have long hair and a beard. Just teasing, ladies. Don't go shave. But see, what troubles me the most is when I see the influence of Satan when he starts dividing the body. When he starts putting a wedge in the trust that we should have for the people and for our leaders. When I see these kind of wedges, it bothers me. If you don't think that they're handling things properly. See, I'm old school. I'm the first one that would say, start your own church, don't let the door hit you on the way out. See, I'm not as merciful as my brother is. I'm praying, though, that I'll get there. Amen? I know a lot of you pray for me. There's got to be hope for Donner somewhere. But I want to give you an idea publicly what's going on. This isn't just stuff I'm making up because everybody knows I'm real anti-witchcraft because I used to be a witch. The truth of the matter is I could operate in it so well. I could sit there and tell you what conversations you had, what clothes you wore. You know, I could travel there in the spirit and tell everything you said and did. It's called operating with a familiar spirit. Why do you think the psychics are so popular? And then here we have some poor preacher trying to give a word of knowledge and he misses it 10 miles. I had one guy tell me one time, he said, yeah, the Lord's giving you all a new female organs. And I busted out laughing, to be honest with you. And I said, why? I didn't want them. I don't have them anymore. I had a partial hysterectomy. And I was glad when I did. Because he says, does this witness with you? And I go, I don't think so. That was the famous saying, you know, back then, does this witness with you? No. I'm almost begging them before I ever get there. Don't ask me. please don't ask me. Or push you so hard you get a kink in your neck. And they say, I can see God all over you, and I'm whispering to him, stop, because I'm not going to fall. And then they release me and go on and avoid me like the plague. Because a lot of people have it in their head, you're not spiritual if you don't fall out. See, I don't believe that either. I have received some of my best prayer without ever falling out. If I had to wait for me to fall out, I'd never receive anything. It's a bunch of baloney. I mean, it's nice if it does, but it's to me, it's nice if it don't. Sometimes I just feel sorry for the catchers. Especially when it's courtesy dropping. Now, the ones that really fall, I've seen them fall forward or just crumble where you can't catch them. And to me, when it's genuine, that's fine. But if you're courtesy dropping, shame on you. It's not very courteous. You're going to put somebody's back out. And that means even if you're a little bitty bone, if you catch them wrong, you're going to hurt somebody. It says here, now this is in New Hampshire. This is what I got from a friend of mine there. Peterborough hosts Wicca gathering. It says here, for the fifth year, the town of Peterborough will become the gathering point for witches, pagans, and curious from across New England and beyond to rekindle the old ways and celebrate the ancient Celtic holiday of Samhain in a festive manner. Now, Samhain is honoring the dead. They talk to them, too. And then the other one, but see, they collect food for food banks and stuff when they do their little mystic shows and incantations and all that garbage. And so they dedicate it and give it to people, you know, to their city. So therefore, people are turning to them because they're actually helping people. So that's one of the ways it comes in the disguise of a good thing. Now, I met a druid once. She said, I had to laugh, because we're working in a mental place, right, where they lock you in and they lock you out. First day I go into work, she goes, grabs my hand and shakes it, and she says, hi, I'm a druid. And I grabbed her hand and squeezed it. I said, hi, I'm a born-again Christian. How are you? She said, well, I don't kill animals anymore. And I said, no, you just hug trees now? As we're still holding hands, you know, and I know they still do sacrifices. But it was funny, you know, 3 days later, she left. She didn't want to work with me. And I wasn't mean to her. I was real nice about it, but every time she'd start talking about druids, I'd start telling her about Jesus and how I used to be a witch and how I knew he had enough authority to send me to hell and the devil only had enough to entice me there. He doesn't have the authority Jesus has. Amen? But if you don't think you're under the influence ever, start thinking about how you feel about things and how you feel about people. And how are you going to lend your mouth to the devil? I've actually asked the Lord, just shut me up more than once. Because to be honest with you, people, even the very most best, well-intended people, have bad days. Amen? I hate it when I yield to any of it, because I'll repent and repent to where, you know, you really only have to do it once, but you feel so bad about yourself that you gave in to something that stupid that it can just steal your time from the Lord. And some people aggravate me. Did I say that? Because they won't quit running people down. I had to stop somebody from talking about my youngest daughter the other day, and I loved them. But I told them, I said, don't ever forget, she's my daughter. And I said, and I may not agree with her lifestyle or what she's doing right now, but she'll always be my daughter, and I'll always love her. I said, don't forget that. And I wasn't angry. She had hurt these people pretty bad, so I understood where this coming from. But see, don't you think the Father feels the same way when we're running down our brothers and sisters in God? Why are you doing this to them? I love them. I love them as much as I love you. Why? Why do you want to cause, for lack of a better description, a civil war amongst the body of Christ where you have to be one against the other or you're just not? Them, they got a musket, you'll get a shotgun. Wait a minute. I think I know where I can get a cannon. Let's blow them out of the water. Let's stop them cold. Or let's pray for them. Let's ask God to deliver them. Let's ask Him to help us to have the strength to. I'm not saying that we don't ever need corrected. We do. God said He'd correct those whom He loved. I get corrected all the time. Thank God most of the time it's by the Father before I ever have to get corrected by people. But there's a lot of evidence here, unfortunately, of strife and division. I know people think most of the time I'm just like this, blonde all the time. And most of the time I am. But I notice a lot of things. You can feel it in the atmosphere when there's a lack of harmony. You can feel the presence of devils even in here. And believe me, they're everywhere. Somebody told me one time I saw too many devils, but then when they encountered one, I was the first person they called, so I guess I'm okay. But see, the Lord wants us to have discernment. I don't go on witch hunts. They can find me without me looking for them. But it says here, Druids gain official recognition. This is in England. You know, and George Bush, at one time, he said, in good conscience, he couldn't sanction the Wiccans. But they put enough pressure on him where he gave in to it and did. See, and if you think about it, that's what's wrong with the body of Christ now, too. If enough pressure is put on you, you'll forget what the truth is. You'll start yielding to things, you know, deep down really isn't quite right. It takes courage to stand for the truth. I know a lot of us have, and a lot of us have gotten clobbered. But see, the influence that we have in the atmosphere now tells you it's okay to be indulgent. It's okay to keep one foot stuck in the world. It's okay to do this. It's okay. And it's not okay. How can you imagine somebody that's never been churched or has never had an experience personally with God, how they feel out there when they hear it's okay to be gay? It's okay to, you know, practice just a little bit of witchcraft. It's okay to gamble just a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And until they have a revelation of it, God's not going to get on them, man. But He'll do everything He can to reveal it to them, what's right or wrong. Because, see, as a Christian, I played the lottery for years. I figured if I only did $1 a week, it was a whole lot cheaper than the movies with all them skanky sex scenes in it. I didn't think that dollar I was spending a week was as bad as a movie other people were going to go watch. Or what about drinking soda pop? That's so unhealthy for you. I didn't think spending a buck on the lottery was as bad as drinking a liter of Coke. You know, you can justify or change things to suit you. But that's what the Lord showed me was this. He said, when Ahab and Jezebel got together, he said there was a merger. And, you know, his father, Ahab's father, told him, it's okay, we can worship their gods too. We can merge. We can have both. Look what happened. You can't have both. Sorry. But you have to have the revelation that you can't have both. See? Now, I know what Gary said the other day about he didn't believe he could go in a casino. And I respect that. But see, on the other hand, I feel like I can. I'll go sup with the sinner. Or not sinner. But, you know, to me, if I'm not gambling and carrying on, I'm doing okay. And I'm not contradicting what Gary said. If the Lord told him not to do it, he better stay out of there. And maybe down the line, the Lord will tell me to stay out. I went once in 14 years. I'm overdoing it here. Well, that's in the state of Oklahoma. Now, I did have dinner with my brother Steve and one in Nevada, because I don't care where you eat there, you can't find a place that doesn't gamble. That's the only place I've ever been in my entire life that has slot machines in the grocery store. I thought about going to the doctor just to see if they had them in the hospital or in the doctor's office. Here, you're next, ka-ching. Oh, well, the bad news is you're dying. The good news is you won $50. But, you know, everybody has to deal with their own conscience. Everybody does. But the best way to give you a guideline to your conscience is to stay in the Word, isn't it? I love Jesus. See, if he hadn't hung out with sinners, I'd have never got saved. Because I didn't like religion. Religion shut me down before I got saved, and it shut me down after I got saved. When I'd read about Jesus, how he hung out with people, how he ate with them, and how he just cast the devil out of them, and how he loved on them and changed their whole life because he loved them, changed them. That's what I wanted to be like. That's why I enjoy going back for the one that's lost. You know, I've been told everything this year. I've been told I was going to fail. What was the exact wording? You're never going to be as big as Joyce Meyer. And I said, well, that's cool. Didn't know I wanted to be as big as her. Thank God I don't have her budget. I'm not downing what Joyce does. But I never once said in my entire walk with the Lord said that I wanted to be her or like her. Not once. So to my estimation, the way I failed in that person's eyes was that was their vision for me, not mine. I'd just soon hang out in the gutters with the winos. The reason being is some of them are real desperate and they'll receive. Or the one that their mama did too many drugs and too many alcohol, too much, damaged their brain. Who's gonna go back for them? If I had a ministry, you know, that wanted me to do something else, I would, but I'm okay with going back for one or preaching to five or six people. If God's telling you to do it, just be happy doing what he says to do. See, this envy and strife in the body of Christ, oh, you got the greatest anointing. No, you do. No, you do. You feel like you're watching tennis sometimes. No, you. No, you. No, you. What about Jesus? He does. He's got the biggest anointing. The Holy Spirit's the one that helps you. It's not you doing anything. You should have seen the look on people's face when I get up there and say, don't expect me to heal you. I said, if you're waiting for me to do it, honey, you're going to die. We'll just agree the Holy Spirit and Jesus shows up. But you can receive it. Because see, on our own, we can't do nothing. That's why I love telling people, get over yourself. I love our church. I really do. There's so many people here that have sold out to God, that have ate their bread quietly. They never, ever. See, there's one couple here tonight that has been my hero for a long time. They sit there and eat their bread quiet. They're always praying. Always have a kind, good word to say to somebody. Of course, all of you are my heroes. As long as you're here digging in. And sheroes, I won't leave you ladies out. Because it takes courage to make a stand. It takes courage. It takes courage to do the right thing. Have I always done the right thing? Not on your best day. Try to, though. Sometimes I contradict myself so bad I have to just sit down and shut up and pray. None of you have ever had to do that, have you? Just wait till you want to put a whole bunch in the offering and see what contradiction you get. But it says that the Druid Network is going through the U.S. now, too, along with the Wiccans, along with all the other neo-pagan religions. So if you don't think there's been an influence on the body of Christ today, you need to think again. If you don't think there's been an influence on our country, look what are the things that are being passed. If you don't think Satan's not having a heyday, you need to think again. And I guess my favorite one was in the Bible Belt, when the Satanic churches come out and held a big meeting at the Civic Auditorium in Oklahoma City. And all the good Christians, not all of them were doing it, but a lot of the Christians that went to that meeting were standing out there going, "You're going to hell! You're going to hell! Ah!" You know, reminding you of the turkey lurky chicken clucky thing. "Help, the sky's falling!" When in fact, if you walked over there with an anointing of any kind, it would probably break the yoke and they'd want what you had. But if they're looking at us in the condition we are today, they're not going to want what we have. They're already miserable enough. It's true or not? But see, the truth of the matter is Satan deceives you and works on your mind when, in fact, he's given us authority over it, over all of it. That's what I did love about him showing up in my life when I was a witch, you know, because I understood, like I said again, as an unbeliever, that Jesus had more authority than the devil. Some witch doctor comes shaking their stuff at me, I'd have to ask them what their point was. Because they don't have one, really. But see, if you want to talk about supernatural things, now they can operate in the spirit better than most Christians can. Because they've infiltrated us. And Christians are so hungry for a move or power, they want to take these shortcuts, like this, what is this one book called? Dangerous Prayers, done by a former witch doctor. And if you read the front of the book, his preface, he'd say, "Anybody that copies this book is damned to hell." And I thought, now what honest to God Christian would damn anybody to hell? So you have these Christians then reading and practicing this guy's prayers. It's like, how many of you ever been on a farm? How many of you know how they classify sheep? Goats have a lot of spunk. You can turn them loose anywhere, and they'll just clean up the trash, clean up everything. You turn a sheep loose out in the same woods, they'll get hung on a bush and stay there till they die of thirst. That's why Satan can deceive us so easy, or can deceive people so easy, because they're not thinking there's an enemy. And so when he starts working on your mind, you know, you almost feel paranoid going to church. I've had people do that to me, you know. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, "I saw you looking across the way. Have I offended you?" And I said, "Where was you sitting?" "I don't think so. I was just looking around the room. Honest, I wasn't watching you. But I am now." No, I'm kidding. So, we've got to quit letting our head be a playpen for the devil. Amen? And sometimes you just have to slap me. Come up and just go, bam, hi. I'll go, oh, hi. I'm not a snob. I'm just don't think 90.9% of the time. I used to make people so mad, I wanted to get a microphone from my brother at the beginning of every service and just say, "Hi, everybody." Didn't leave nobody out that way, right? My dreaded yellow paper. I didn't need the pad, brother. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it said, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, see, when somebody preaches a message that kind of steps on your toe, you go, "Did somebody narc on me? Did somebody go up and tell the preacher what I did? Did they do this? Did they do that?" No, the Holy Spirit knew what you did. He didn't have to do that. But see, that's where I get some of my biggest corrections, is in a sermon. Or just reading, you know, just reading his word. He's not going to beat you up. He loves you too much. You don't have to beat you up. You beat yourself up bad enough. I have. How many of you felt like you've just fallen this far short of doing what you're supposed to do, even for a day? Yeah, most everybody. See, and I know the devil will keep us so busy. I probably got a half a dozen urgent can't-wait calls today. By the time I got through listening to some of them, I was in intercession so heavy that it just broke my heart. The suffering that people go through. Especially if you know they're not going to grab the truth. Especially if you know they're not going to take the steps that it takes to come out of whatever situation they're in. Because for some of them, it's going to cost them their life. And I've been in those kind of wars. I've been told I was going to die, God, I don't know how many times. You think you just give it up. I finally told the devil, "I don't understand basic English. What does dead mean?" No. "Oh, dead to flesh, so I can put you under my feet. Now I got it." But see, that's the thing. But see, I'm not making light of it. There was some days I knew if I could just get out of bed and make my bed, I'd live another day. You know, I had to have a point of doing something to know that I would still function tomorrow. And I'd tell the Lord, I said, I'd be so exhausted, I'd just tell him, "Well, I really love you." And I'd put on a praise song and I'd tell him, I said, "I'm so tired, Lord, I'll just play this to you. Is that okay?" And he received it because that's where I was at the time. I can't even imagine being that tired again. I think every year I start feeling better and ornerier. And he gives us guidelines all the time, doesn't he? Because he says in James 3, 14 and 16 says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Bitter strife and envying in your hearts. You know what envying really is? That's thinking that you deserve something more than the person that has it. Has. It's not like jealousy where the Lord's jealous over you. It's actually thinking you deserve what they have more than they do. Isn't that sad? I had people tell me that I deserve that anointing you have. Why did God give it to you? I should have said, well, he ran out of idiots, I guess. I don't know. Because I love him. That's all I could tell him. He gave it to me because I love him. Because I'm not going to abuse it. He loves you. Nobody can take your place in the body of Christ. I'll tell you how honest I am. I went and had lunch with Jim Martin and them. You know, and he's an ace teacher. He really is. Love his teachings. And we were talking. He said, what do you do, Donner? I said, well, I don't teach like you. I said, God, now that I think about it, I'm not even a good preacher. But I'm being honest. I just love God. And I just want to see people free. You want to get tons of revelation, you're going to have to go Gary, Dave, Jim. But it's okay to be who you are. That's why I'm totally confident with my little sheet of yellow paper. It is okay to be me. But see, the list is pretty long on healings and miracles and making people feel totally at ease that have tattoos. You know, they might have felt convicted till they met me. Somebody said, oh, you're doing good if you only had one. I said, I wished I only had one. But I'm not recommending them, so please don't get me wrong. They're a lot more expensive to remove than they are to get. But if you could sum it up as far as how even Paul would feel right now, you can understand why he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, couldn't we say now, oh, foolish nations, who has bewitched you? Why would anybody want to worship Satan? It's because they don't know how real Jesus is. It's not because they just got up one day and said, oh, I hate Jesus. They haven't seen anything that has made them want to change yet. We can come on to people real religious, or we can just be real with them and tell them how much he loved us and how much we love him, and tell them, you know, we're not perfect, we're striving, and we're not judging you, we're loving you. You give them enough milk, eventually they'll want some meat. Me, I like big, thick steaks. Gary's like, yeah. I'm going to go over to Luke. See, this is what I really want to encourage people with, is you have more authority than the devil's got in his little finger. But he still strategically well plans his army. And if we just sit by and let him get away with it. Now, I found out that the head of the satanic church is named. If we really want to see a turnaround, why don't we put him in the prayer box and start praying for his salvation, since he's the head of the satanic church in Oklahoma? Why don't we every day say, we just thank God he's born again. We thank God that the Holy Spirit can intervene and can touch him with love and mercy and compassion and bring him into the spirit of truth, which is Jesus is truth, the Holy Spirit's truth, and show Satan up for what he is. Look how many people would turn around if this man got saved. Amen? So instead of going, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. That's what they used to all tell me all the time. You're going to hell, you're going to hell. And I'd get so angry and rebellious, I'd tell them, are you going to be there? They'd go, no. And I said, good, I'll go then. As long as I don't have to listen to you anymore. Judgmental doesn't help anybody, does it? In Luke 10:18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Okay, I love the way the kids used to do it. That would make Satan a loser. Just, he already fell, right? And people are still deceived enough to go after him, thinking they're going to have some kind of power here. Because he does do things here. We're in his realm. But if we keep worshiping, if we keep praising Jesus, if we keep seeking the word, and it doesn't matter who else does it or not, who else approves you or not, you're in this walk for a relationship with the Lord all on your own. We should come and unify here and pray for the other things, but we should all be doing this at home. I got to tell you, I don't come to every meeting here. Maybe I should, but I don't. Sometimes I just don't. But I do pray for the lost every day. I do pray for my country every day. And between the 50th and 60th phone call, I do other stuff. No, I don't get that many a day, thank God. Sometimes it just feels like it. But here's the other part that I really like. It says, behold, I give unto you the power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He didn't say just some of the power. He said all the power. We got to quit giving Satan so dang much credit. It's our choice what we're going to do. It's our choice what we receive. You can blame everybody in the country for the condition you're in, and you're not going to be able to blame anybody until you go look in the mirror. Then you're going to see the truth. I can't blame my brother if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. But we do have influences, and we need to quit. We need to quit listening to the negative. We need to start worshiping God like we mean it. I love it. I think if I could give it, I think I almost got my dogs into a worship mode now. At least they think they are. He loves you. Jesus loves you, and he wants to strengthen you. He wants you to walk free. He wants your family free. How many of you here are believing for family one way or the other? Not just salvation, anything. Healings, this, that. I am. I still think if we put away the strife and the envying, the contention, and pull together, we can do it. Amen?
Amen?
So are you ready to whoop the devil? Okay, look at somebody close to you or by you, or turn around and say it to someone. Say, I love you with the love of the Lord. And then say, I forgive myself. We all know that's the hardest one to forgive, isn't it? I can forgive other people for what they do a whole lot quicker than I can forgive me. It says, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That tells me he has your best interest at heart. And the devil will try to scare you so bad that you don't believe or trust Jesus anymore. Or he'll hammer you so hard that if you don't know who you are in him, you'd quit. I've met a lot of people that's quit. But most of the time, they'll pray once they, I call it going to the cave to lick their wounds. Once they get past that, they'll come back if we receive them and don't judge them for having left to begin with. Amen? So, how many of you are going to be praying for the satanic leader that he gets born again? How many of you are going to still continue praying for our nation? See, you guys are the ones that's got to make the difference. We all are. The light that you are outside this building needs to radiate the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Amen. And you can't do that if you're judging them. So, Father, right now I just thank you for today. I thank you that you give us the courage and the strength to do right things and make right decisions. Lord, I thank you that we can lay down our agendas and just do your agenda, God. Just yours, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, teach us and instruct us in the ways that you want us to go. And we lift each and every person up that has offended us, Lord, and we release them now. And Lord, we also ask to be forgiven for every person that we've offended. And we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that you're going to do in this body and this church. I thank you that truth will come and it will make people free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If any of you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come up.